Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm with Grant Blackley at the moment. He's just done a terrific presentation on digital transformation. I was incredibly surprised to learn from inception to launch Listener only 4 years.
Only 4 years. Well, Listener really came about 2 years ago, but the infrastructure, the change in our capacity to house Listener, it's taken 4 years. And in those 4 years, we've had six different activities in six different ways influencing the business to give us the confidence and capability to actually get to the point of launching Listener, which of course we did last year.
So the digital focus of Listener, does that mean that we're going to leave traditional broadcasting behind?
No, not at all. Because, you know, the House of Listener relies on premium content. And we have 99 radio stations that sit in the House of Listener in the first room. And if we stop doing that, we wouldn't have that room and we wouldn't have that engagement. So we have to keep doubling down and treating our linear traditional business in exactly the same manner as we're treating our new on-demand business. And the two cohabitate quite well. And we'll continue to invest and compete, as we do every day with all our peers in the market, whether it be in the metro or the regional markets. But it won't stop us from building out additional content on demand, because not everyone wants to listen to radio all the time. And therefore, we have to entice them into a broader audio marketplace.
So does that mean we're going to see like this growing group of podcasts where it just continues to grow, or do you put a cap on it?
Yeah, interesting. We have a sort of Netflix-style model, which, you know, if you go into Netflix, you'll find their top 10 trending shows, you'll find their top dramas, their top 10 action movies. We think that whilst we built it out from about 68 podcasts a few years ago to 108 today, there is a bit of room and scope for growth. We're determined to build out the first five categories that we want to build out first and foremost. There could be a sixth and seventh, but only when we've finished the first five and developed the level of competency within the five. But we tend to cull from the bottom and try and rise to the top. So the aggregate outcome of what is our podcast network continues to grow and actually mature, and you get a higher number of downloads and listens the more often you do that. So we can't really afford to have a long tail. And we saw that in the video market, where the long tail of digital was enormously long. And people said, it's niche. And I said, it's not niche, it's just small. And, you know, we can't afford to have small things. Agencies won't buy small things. They tend to buy things with scale. So to that end, we have to continue to raise the bar of what is our nearly minimum acceptable level.
So given the fact that you've got to cull it all the time, then does that mean that there is a life for some of those things like the radio programs that are repurposed?
Yeah, interesting. We do the same creative and production treatment on a repurposed on-demand show that we would do on a podcast. So it's not a cut and stick and throw it in the afternoon model. It is curating what has been 3 hours into an hour. It's changing the music, the news, the shape, and the way in which we actually craft that. So we give it exactly the same premium treatment, which affords us in the afternoon a higher audience. And people are doing that, which becomes a marketing platform, of course, you know, for the morning again. So, you know, what we do in the morning, what we do in the afternoon, and what music we listen to is always different. It's a lean forward, lean back experience.
Interesting that over the years, there's been a lot of criticism rained down at SCA, especially from provincial areas, about the fact that they're not probably as local as they should be. Most of that seems to come from disaffected radio people who've moved on to do other things. But you handle that in a very different and unique way.
Yeah, it is. Listen, we have a proudly national, fiercely local vision on the way through. And some will say, but you're not employing that in every single decision. And we can't in every single decision. So we've had to make some tough decisions, there's no question. Where we truncated some of the breakfast shows on the Hit Network, who were fundamentally talking about all the same thing, which is, you know, popular culture on the way through. it was being repeated across 46 hit stations. We decided to create super shows in terms of the hit stations, and those markets were affected. And by the way, I will say the hit super shows are now performing better than the individual shows were. People are migrating behind that. But the resource that we had there, we put back into mornings. So we've tried to keep the same level of localism on the station, but maybe in a different way. Of course, with Triple M, very different. It's live, it's local, it's comedy, rock and sport. And we think we have to be in every market all the time.
Do you find that moving those the bigger metropolitan shows, having them replayed in the regional markets, is that lifting the talent level in those markets as well?
Yeah, I think it does. It lifts the overall bar of it, you know, of excellence in a creative sense. It shows, you know, a healthy degree of competition. We have national listeners for Marty in the afternoon, and yes, he's a show, but you know, his podcast is exceptional. But he's only aired in a traditional one-to-many capacity in Melbourne, of course. But people around the country want to hear him. You know, the challenge will be, we have him in Melbourne. We also have him in the afternoon broadcast and on demand. The challenge is, what's the next one? What can we do else with Marty? And I talk to Marty about this and say, is there another subject matter? Is there another place that you have a passion for? And I'll, by way of example, Hamish and Andy, you know, were with us for many, many years, very successful. We've just launched Hamish's book series within Listener. And, you know, he's now writing books. We're his audio partner. So we're bringing his kids' books to life. So that's another adaptation. Who would have thought Hamish and Andy would become, from where they were on radio, would give it up and effectively transition into the podcast market that was immature at that point, but now they're the number one podcast in the country. And here's Andy saying, I've got a passion project. It's about kids' books. So I'm going to go publishing first, audio second. But because of our relationship and the trust between us, fundamentally, we were obviously, we hoped, with a natural conduit to the market. We're doing it with Hamish Blake's wife, Zoe. And we've created a, you know, and it's not a book series, it's not an audio book series. But we've taken The Younger Man book, which was a bestseller. We've found six actors. We've kept the name. We've kept the same author. We've used six new actors. We will turn it into effectively six, I won't say podcasts, but they are six books. And it's not an audio book because we don't read the book. So we've recreated the entire script with the same story and outcome, but with different chapters. But now you can listen to six, let's say, podcasts over the course of the week, which means you've read the book.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
So does this mean audio drama could be the next step?
I'd like to think so. I think, you know, we've seen video drama lead both free-to-air television and the video streamers in every capacity, most definitely. The issue there is, where can you find, afford, deploy, engage with these particular parties? Because it all comes down to the creative writing and the adaptation of that into an audio. I can tell you, we have a lot of podcasters that have a life on TV. They walk into the podcasting arena and it's a foreign world. We just don't take an audio product from them because there's vision. So there's pieces of silence. So they come across and they have to change their entire repertoire. I think the same will be true for anything we do in audio drama. It'll have to be made for audio drama first and everything else is second. And if we'll trial that, we'll test it. We might fail in a couple of cases, but we'll be resilient. But any good script and any great story can be turned into a good audio drama.
One of the things too is that SCA now have all these studios that are linked beautifully together, so you don't have to get everybody necessarily in the same room together.
Absolutely correct. So going into our first shutdown, when the Australia was locked down, we had every breakfast show, every drive show, working from home simultaneously on the same day. And when you think there could be four to six people working, or even more in certain cases, working on each breakfast show. They were doing it simultaneously, live, from their lounge rooms. So it goes to show our digital posture and the investment we've made, which is now complete for the most part, means we are fully connected. And that gives us enormous amount of latitude. So you're right, you can be anywhere. You know, Eric Benner's just done a book with Audible. I don't care where he is. If he wants to be in Byron, we're in Byron. And if he wants to go down the coast or up the coast, we're there, we're active. He can either do it from home with a piece of our kit, or secondly, he can go to any one of our 65 offices because we're fully connected and we're live with that sort of digital network that allows us to do it simultaneously.
So overall, one of the other things you touched on today was Spotify. So does radio need to be worried about Spotify? Because you're talking about radio consumption being a lot different now.
Listen, I think Spotify is your music companion. They're global by nature. They're rarely local, which I think therefore plays to the strength of radio on the way through. Secondly, we know that, you know, circa 80 to 85% of Spotify is behind a credit card and subscription. So therefore, as a commercial operator, they're not a huge threat in actual fact, because that 15% that's left, or maybe call it 20, which is the free ad version, is fundamentally being picked up by an under 21-year-old audience. It's the same audience repeating itself. They're not building reach. They're not adding to a campaign reach for the market. So whilst they got an early march on most of us, I think their level of growth will start to dissipate. And I think this is a wonderful opportunity for us to move forward and start to take more of the dollars from a digital budget as opposed to a radio budget, therefore broadening the audio marketplace.
Look, thanks for that. It's an interesting subject, isn't it, the whole Spotify thing and how they broadcast. And you do lose, I think, that one-to-one that you get from radio.
Yeah, I always work on the, you know, if I'm driving across the Harbour Bridge in the morning and someone's laughing or crying, they're probably not listening to Spotify.
Very true. Grant Blakely, thanks for that.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.